It is my pleasure and joy to introduce Reverend David Michael Searcy, and I'm going to read his bio, but just let me say that David Michael and John mean the world to us. They have been with us for 10 years, about, yeah, okay. Pastor Lord David Michael Searcy, priest in the Wiccan faith, was introduced to several religious beliefs in his upbringing as a youth, which sparked his desire to study religion and spirituality. His ministry is infused with his Pentecostal roots, Wicca, and science of the mind, which he has studied and practiced for over 30 years. He was ordained in October of 2010 as a second degree priest, associate minister of the Ravenwood tradition by Ravenstone Church and Seminary in Dallas, Georgia. In November 2011, he earned his spiritual practitioner's license from the Center of Spiritual Living Worldwide. He serves with the pastoral staff of Spirit and Truth Sanctuary in Decatur, Georgia, and Grove of the Willowwood Coven. The core focus and joy of his ministry is to bring each individual he touches into the remembrance of their inner divinity and beauty through cultivating their personal love affair with the Source and assisting all to live their true, authentic selves. His work with angels also demonstrates that we all have a whole network of angelic beings, teachers, guides, healers, avatars, and ancestors assisting us in our spiritual journey. Growing up, he was an army brat who finally settled in Atlanta. He enjoys a 28-year professional career as a concierge with Marriott International and is currently the senior concierge with their W brand at the W Atlanta Buckhead Hotel. He shares his life with John Dana Myers, his partner, who is an intuitive massage and body worker, and their cat, Bast, and their Chorky, Princess Leah, who made it to the Easter service. I must add that, Princess Leah was there. A big kid at heart, he is a comic book collector and a DC and Marvel comic toy statuary collector. Loves reading, movies, dining, traveling, ministering, and mountain light, and giving, yes, and giving big hugs. Yeah. David Michael.
So, it's so good to be home. I have a request though. I just want one service, one mountain light service, where John just does a whole hour of just music.
There we go.
Music, yes. Ministry. Oh, wow. I'm just putting that out there. It's a wish of mine. So I can just use that. The way you play just touches my heart. So I love it. I love it. I love it. You all touch my heart. So we're going to do our usual. So just get settled in your seat. Everything off your lap. And we're going to call in the angels and the directions. And the funny thing, I left my bell at home, but that's okay. Because it's such a sweet spirit here today. Such a sweet, calming spirit. So we're going to move with that. So right here, right now, we welcome the essence and the power of God, Goddess, the thing itself, whatever you may call it, to move in through and as us and for us. This presence surrounds us, supports us, loves us unconditionally. We welcome the essence of the One, the All and the Only. We welcome in our angels, Raphael in the East, the place of communication and healing. Healing our thoughts, healing our bodies, healing any dis-ease, healing what we speak to ourselves, healing all those negative thoughts and speeches that we keep bringing back to ourselves. Healing our communication from one to another. Bringing down walls and barriers that separate us. We welcome this power in right here and right now. And in the south, we welcome Michael, Mikhail. And this power is that fierce power of love and forgiveness. And we choose right here, right now, to first love ourselves. To first forgive ourselves. And we also make the choice to love and forgive everyone in our human experiences, past, present, and future. And in the West, Gabriel, that power and that presence that teaches us that we stand strong in our divinity, stand strong in our knowing, for we are gods and goddesses. We are one with the One. We're steadfast, unmovable, unshakable in the midst of circumstances. We welcome this in right here and right now. And in the north, Uriel, the power and the presence of the aha moment, the light bulb going off, the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding in the midst of life circumstances. Having direction when there seems there is no direction. Having insight when there seems no insight. Having that natural, wonderful, beautiful spiritual hearing beyond our natural hearing. All senses alive. So we welcome this power right here, right now. We welcome the energies of the angels and the elementals in this space, creating this holy space, this sanctuary, this ethereal temple. We welcome you. So mote it be, and so it is.
And so it is.
In our tradition, turn one to another and say greetings. This house is full with those who are present and those who are unseen. This message is called This Is Me. So I've been inspired by the movie The Greatest Showman. Who's seen it? Wonderful. With Hugh Jackman. It's a must-see. It's a must-see. I think I've watched it now 3 or 4 times now. The first time, I didn't even know it existed. John was in Charlotte. He had been staying with friends while he was working there, called me and said, I just watched this movie. You need to watch it. And as soon as it came on HBO, I was right there. And then I purchased the movie because I wanted to see it over and over again. So I love it. It really speaks to being authentic, being yourself, being loved for who you are. So if you have a chance, get the soundtracks too. Wonderful.
The name again?
The Greatest Showman. Yes, Hugh Jackman. It came out last year. So, and has won numerous awards. It seems as though almost everyone has given someone else power over the way they think, feel, and behave in some fashion at one time or another. I know that I have. Giving away your personal power robs you of your spiritual and mental strength. We have to make conscious choices to take back our power, which is the key to being in control of our lives. Here we stop apologizing for being who we are and how we show up in the world. We explore ways of keeping our personal power. This also requires us to be in a place of true vulnerability, remembering that there's a place for all of us, even the bruised and broken parts of us. The sharpest words can't cut us down because we are brave and we are bruised, but we are who we are meant to be, and we make no apologies. For we are glorious beings, and we have found and we know that we are proud of who we are. The title of this is Me. I came across 2 articles while trying to put this message together. And the 2 articles, one is Your Signs of Giving Away Your Power and How to Reclaim It by Natalie Kent. And the other one, Ways to Avoid Giving Away Your Personal Power, Commit to Taking Back Your Power Today by Amy Morin. So I give them a lot of credit. This article really woke some things up in me. There are times in our lives when we have been a victim of circumstances, or so we thought. We have wondered why things often didn't work out in our favor and how we got into some unlucky places. We're used to pushing and creating the things that we want, forcing things to happen in our lives. If we couldn't get it, we fantasized about it and forced it to happen. Little did we realize that unconsciously we were creating scenarios to teach us about power. It's very common for us to relinquish our power, to give it away without realizing. We do this on a daily basis sometimes, and this behavior becomes a habitual cycle of disempowerment. For example, some of the comments we make are disempowering, that chatter in our brains. I didn't get the job that I wanted. They're looking over me. I don't fit in. My relationship is falling apart. My health is in shambles. My knee is done. I can't seem to make enough money. These are the types of thoughts that make us feel powerless. When we feel powerless, we get stuck in a cycle of creating difficult situations that make us feel even more powerless. So what is power? Power is ultimately the ability to create a desired result. It's the ability to attract and create circumstances that lead to our gain, which in turn build our own sense of power. In other words, we become even more powerful each time we use our power responsibly to create what we want. This has a synchronicity of effects. Not all power is created equal. One of the key reasons we may shy away from or suppress our own power is because we are afraid of creating negative consequences. There are plenty of examples throughout history where power has been misused with dire outcomes. The ultimate fear is using our power to dominate others. If we become powerful, we will fall victim to the same fate. Deep down, we all want to feel powerful. We all know the power we have inside of us to create reality, to create our lives. It's up to us to notice the signs of giving our power away so we can consciously reclaim it. As the great spiritual teacher Marianne Williamson says, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frighten us. As human beings, we have a natural desire to feel powerful. So when we don't feel powerful in our own right, we will orchestrate our outer lives in a way that makes us feel powerful. For example, trying to control others' behavior, trying to control our partners, that doesn't work. Acquiring unnecessary possessions and spreading drama and gossip. However, this only results in deeper feeling of disempowerment, the illusion about what it takes to be in power. We seek to control the things we feel we can control, rather than tapping into our own innate power source. Why do people give their power away? The more power you have, the more responsibility you have, and the more you have to use it with wisdom. An example is someone who earns millions of dollars a year. They have to manage that money, which requires a great amount of responsibility for what happens to it. So the less money you earn, the less money you have to manage, and the less responsibility you have. Many people don't want to take on higher levels of responsibility, as they would then have to face their deepest fears of feeling inadequate and powerless. With power comes the responsibility of being conscious of your choices and how they impact your reality and others. What will you choose? It's common for spiritually aware people to give their power away because they are aware that their actions could harm people or the planet in ways they have witnessed in others. Yet, what they don't realize is the harm they are doing to themselves because they are turning their power inward and creating unnecessary problems and dramas in their own lives, especially their relationships and their finances and their health. How do you know when you're giving your power away? As a result of not wanting to acknowledge the effect of power, we give it away, often without knowing that we are making these outside choices in our reality. Here are some signs that will show that when we're giving it away and what it looks like. So one is addiction. When we become addicted to anything, foods, shopping, technology, drugs, TV shows, sex, pets, people, so on, we are giving our power to that external thing. We allow it to control our behavior over and over again. Underlining belief is that we cannot be happy, be ourselves, or be free without that thing. So we keep going back for more to get our fix. Repetitive relationship patterns. When you find yourself facing the same difficult scenario in relationships, whether it's with the same person or a different person, most times we date people who look like or act like the person we had before. Just more strangeness with it. You are stuck in a repetitive behavior, pattern of giving your power to that partner, as well as taking your power from that partner. This pattern usually shows up as blame, resentment, overdependence, and the same arguments keep arising. Underlying this cycle is the belief that I need someone else to give me joy. I need someone else to complete me. We know that's a no-no, because we are complete, we are whole. Financial challenges. Money problems are a telltale sign of giving your power away, simply because we need to feel powerful to some degree to create wealth and abundance. It's common to let money dictate how we feel about ourselves, yet it is the other way around. Our money situation is a reflection of how powerful we really feel. Health issues. When we have pain, illness, dis-ease in our bodies, it is a sign that we are out of balance, that we are giving power to heal ourselves away. We all have the power within us to create good, to create health. But when we develop physical dis-ease, our bodies are communicating to us that we are losing our life force energy, because energy is needed to heal. And they can also show up as depression. Depression happens when we feel out of control in our lives. We don't feel like we can change the status quo to create what we want. So we opt out of life to some degree. What precedes depression is often a feeling that you cannot control the things in your life, such as grief, anger. In effect, a depressed person is suppressing their power and controlling what they can control, which is feeling nothing. But we can reclaim our power. Once we recognize the signs, and you will reclaim it by knowing these signs, it can shift everything quickly for you. There are many techniques to reclaiming your power, but the most effective and fast-acting is the one where you go into your younger part of yourself, and then you go back and think, when did I first give away my power? Now, that's a deep thought. I have one in my mind, but I won't mention it. But I know I have a childhood experience that I know that was my first experience where I started giving away my power, and how I started doing that over and over again in my life. The act of giving our power away begins at a young age. It's our way of getting what we want. If you can pinpoint the age where you consciously choose to give away your power for the first time, you can speak to this younger version of yourself and invite her or him to make a different choice. This is very simple. It's a very simple technique which can have a profound impact on your life. Don't waste energy complaining. There's a big difference between complaining and problem solving. Vent to those closest and then have a new idea about the situation. Focusing and staying in the problem prevents you from creating solutions. Grumbling not only implies that you have no power, but you have no power over the situation. It shows your lack of power and your lack of power over your attitude. The next one is accept responsibility for how you feel. Saying your mother-in-law makes you feel bad about yourself, or claiming your boss makes you mad suggests that they have power over you and over your feelings. Don't let others' behavior dictate your emotions. Accept that it's completely up to you to manage your emotions, regardless of how other people behave. Establish healthy boundaries. especially with your in-laws and your parents. Giving in to guilt trips and refusing to speak up for yourself gives power to other people. Rather than blame others for the wasting of your time or forcing you to do something, recognize that you're in charge of yourself. Establish healthy physical and emotional boundaries that give you control over how you spend your time and whom you spend it with. My favorite, practice forgiveness. Holding a grudge only against someone only hurts you. It doesn't punish the other person. When you waste valuable time thinking about a person you feel wronged by, it takes away your ability to enjoy the moment, to enjoy life. Forgiving someone is the best way to take back your power. But to be clear, forgiveness isn't about saying what that person did was okay. Instead, it's about choosing to let go of the hurt, to let go of the anger that interferes with your ability to enjoy your life. The next one is know your value and your worth. When you're not clear about your values, you're at risk of becoming more like a helpless passenger rather than a confident driver in your own life. You'll be at risk of jumping on board with other people's ideas, and you may be easily led astray. Take back your power by acknowledging your values, living true to what's important to you, and knowing how worthy you are and how good you are and how you deserve the best. Next one, don't waste time in unproductive thoughts. Have you ever come home from work and spent the entire evening wishing you didn't have to go back again tomorrow? A lot of my coworkers do that. Sadly, I actually enjoy going to work, so I actually look forward to it. But that happens a lot. I have to tell some of my coworkers, and they're all, well, I'm the oldest one there, so they're all young, and I always say, you know, no one has a gun to your head to stay here. You don't have to stay here. Suddenly, you're giving your power away by saying, you know, they made me work 60 hours, but I'm only getting paid for 40. Whose fault is that? Mine. That's giving away your power. Avoid language that implies you're a victim, saying things like, I have to do this or that. You don't have to do anything. I would say it another way, but we're in church. So just let that go in your mind. Make your self-worth independent of others' opinions. If your self-worth depends on others holding you in high regard, you're likely to become a people pleaser. Now, back in the 80s, there was this big thing in the 70s about being codependent. Did anyone go through that phase or any training? I did, yeah. And so when back then in that category of codependency, I was the people pleaser. So then I learned that really, really, really young to keep peace in my home and to keep my mom from being angry. That's a whole nother sermon. Not everyone needs to like you, nor do they have to agree with your lifestyle. Evaluate the merit of criticism you receive, but never allow one person's opinion to determine your self-worth. Be willing to stand out from the crowd. Self-doubt and fear can lead you to want to blend in. And I don't like blending in. But trying to fit in with the crowd will cause you to disguise who you really are. Trust that you're mentally strong enough to stand out and to dare to be different. So I found quotes. I went out seeking quotes that back this up. And I love quotes. So one of the quotes that I really love is, make the time and effort to invest in yourself. Self-care and healing. Take time for stillness and contemplation. Reflect on your own behavior. Decide what kind of person you want to be, and then make the steps to be that kind of person. By Mr. Brost. The next one, the art of being happy lies in the power of extracting happiness from common things. Henry Ward Beecher. Happiness is an attitude. We either make ourselves miserable or happy and strong. The amount of work is the same. Don't know who that is, though. You have the power within your reach to create what you desire. Lila Akhtar. Ifs and buts stop you from tapping the miraculous power within you. Harris Sippy. You have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this and you will find strength. Marcus Aurelius. The most common way people give up their power is by thinking they don't have any power. Alice Walker. The past cannot be changed. The future is yet in your power, by an unknown writer. Some days there won't be a song in your heart, but sing anyway. Emery Austin. Mastering others is strength. Mastering yourself is true power. Loa Tuza. Only you and only you can take the power back. We just have to do it. So you know I have a little meditation, of course, because I always do. So just remember all of this. This is all about being you, celebrating who you are, being your true authentic self. So I have a little ditty for you to listen to that talks about being who you truly are and not apologizing for it. Oh, and speaking of that, this week I had to do a thing called spiritual brag. Something I used to do when I was really young. But we brought it back out for sort of a, what do you call it? We brought out of retirement. But one of those things that helped me understand that was this song that I'm getting ready to play for you and this movie that I just told you about. This is me. No longer apologizing. I've spent most of my life apologizing for how I show up. Don't give it away. We have to see the movie. Jeez, spoiler, spoiler. La 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 la. You didn't hear that. Thank you. Good, good. So with that, one of the things I do love. These.
Yes.
This is me. 4 inches. And they feel like slippers. So, but in this thought of just celebrating you, it's so powerful to step out in the world and just be. You know, just be. No apology. Just be. Keep thinking, this is me. You can close your eyes if you want to. Okay?
Run away, they say, no one will love you.
beautiful moment, we no longer apologize. We no longer walk in shame. We no longer speak to ourselves in negative ways. We celebrate our glorious nature. We celebrate this beautiful life experience. We are spirit beings having a human journey. We are observers. We're watching the process, knowing that the divine is moving through in all circumstances. God is God is in all the details of our lives, and every life situation and every life circumstance, the divine is involved. We are never alone. We're never separated. We welcome this energy right here, right now, that empowers us for this new week to show up and to show out. We know that right here, right now, that we are lights. We are lights in a beautiful mountain, in a place called Mountain Light. We are beacons to the world. This place is a haven and a place for safety, a place of acceptance, a place of inclusion, a place of health and healing, a place where we are called family. I give thanks for this idea called Mountain Light. I give thanks for the prosperity and the abundance of this place called Mountain Light. I know that money comes from all different places. People who are members, people who are not members, people who hear this and just want to send money in because they love the work that this place is doing. I know abundance is flowing. Abundance is actually overflowing. I know that health is overflowing for each and every member here. Everyone is in a divine, wonderful place. No matter what it looks like, we're all in a divine, wonderful place. We say yes to life. We say yes to love. We just say yes to the universe. So mote it be, and so it is. Thank you.
I know there are comments or discussion. Comments. David Michael, take over.
Ted.
Yes. You mentioned the 40 to 60 hour work week, and whose fault is that? I had the opportunity to explore the business model of the big box stores having in my retirement, done a part-time stint in one of them. And one of their practices is to create this cadre of lower junior executives. And what happens is these junior executives give up their 40 hours to work for 60 hours. And this is built right into the business model. And now we're seeing the same thing happening to the internet models, Amazon, for instance. And so you say, whose fault is that? Well, it's true. We have allowed, as a society, for this to happen, the same way we have allowed China to take over our economy. So whose fault is that? But it's tough. It's tough, that's all I can say.
I don't know if I should say this on mic, because it's probably still taping. I love Marriott. And Marriott bought my company out, which to start with. But she does more with less. So people are almost forced to do the jobs of two and three other people and still get it all done though in 40 hours. So, yeah. But you also, in those situations, have to learn to leave on time, to get out. It's hard, but I do it. We have Carl.
I'm going to talk about a pet peeve.
Okay.
When people have a right to get angry, I grew up in a household where when we got angry, we raised our voices. And that's part and parcel of the way I do things. And people have reacted in a way, why are you getting angry? It's like, but I have a justifiable thing I'm saying and my voice is raised because I'm angry. And there's two sides to that. It's that if you react to me negatively and not listen to what I'm saying, I get angrier. So the person who is listening to me, and I think we all have to bear this in mind, when somebody is angry, listen to what they are saying so that you can maybe resolve and help the person who is angry.
and that person will then feel better about themselves rather than make them feel worse about themselves.
I love it, because I grew up in a household where you couldn't get angry.
That was part of it too, yeah.
So now that I'm an adult, when I'm trying to make a point, I get louder, as John. And so it's not that I'm getting angry so much, I'm just passionate. That's how I justify it.
Me too.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, my son works for a grocery store that is Mom's, and it is all organic. They have, everything is organic, the roof, everything. Great place, okay?
Wow.
The owner gives pizza parties. He sends them all for a day of meditation, the workers.
Cool.
He does all of this. And my son is saying, he doesn't need to do any of that crap. He just needs to give us $2 more an hour. You know, yeah, everything is organic for the customer. It's everything. But what the workers want is a little more money and a little less stuff. Right?
That's interesting, because in hotel world, that's the kids grumble about not getting paid enough, and they're not.
Right.
I mean, they're doing better than McDonald's, but they're not getting paid as much as they should for what they have to take off the guests.
Right.
But the thing that does touch their hearts is when the company does an appreciation week, or they take them to Six Flags, or they take like they do acts when they can't or they won't. I can't say it. When they can't or won't give them raises. They at least do things to make them feel appreciated.
Well, my son is 32 and he's a manager.
Okay.
In a store. Not the manager of the store, but he's a manager.
The manager in the store.
And he's, you know, saying, I'm supposed to keep these guys happy. Well, I can't give them more money. They like the pizza, they like this stuff. But they need more money.
Yeah, they do.
And then they'll fill it.
No, I get it.
It seems to me this self-determination is the middle point between people-pleasing, which I have been the ultimate in the format people-pleaser, and the controller. And before I could come back to the middle...
Yeah, see, no, ma'am.
Before I came back to the middle point, I had to go all the way to the controlling and be a horrible person. And controlling didn't work before I could come back to some middle point. I still feel good.
Who's the controller? Stop it.
And to Carl's point, I'll shout, and Peter will say, I heard you yelling at me. And I'll say, because you don't listen until I yell. But that middle point is between the controllers.
There's a balance between the two. It is.
Yeah. We're all learning curve.
You said something. You used the phrase "have to."
Speak
up. People often use the word "have to" and they're giving away their power. And it reminded me of something years ago. I usually don't know what's going on with celebrities, but I just happened to be watching some talk show where Jamie Lee Curtis was on, and she was there to promote. She writes children.
I get so irritated when I see corporations leaving for China
leaving for Mexico, when they do not give the workers an opportunity to take over the factory. They don't have the expertise, they can find the expertise, they can borrow the money. So most large corporations, I don't care if it's Uber, I don't care who it is, do not like the unions. Now, for example, we have just moved to Chattanooga, and they have a huge new, well, fairly new, Volkswagen plant.
Oh, wow.
And they were enticed, the late Corker, Senator Corker, because the German company, obviously Volkswagen, they were used to the unions in Germany. They offered to have the union in Chattanooga. And so Corker made absolutely sure when he was in power that no unions ever came to Tennessee. So now, again, it's up for a vote whether Volkswagen should unionize. The workers want it. Now, Volkswagen don't want it. It appeared they're being bribed, you know, by the state not to have the union. So that's my thing. Union, or a cooperative situation.
See, in Georgia, in hospitality, that's a nasty word.
Of course, it's everywhere.
They tried to unionize the chicken plant, I heard, and everyone was let go, and they brought in a bunch of cheap foreign labor.
Yeah, but you see, that should be outlawed. Yeah.
It should, yeah, but that's what happens.
Fine, and well, but you've got to approach the politicians to say, listen, we need the union again. That's what built this country.
Okay. Any other comments? Thank you, David Michael.
Thank you.
I've got to say that